Hey everyone, it's Pastor Eddie from River of Life. Just want to say thank you for joining us on our podcast. Now let's get ready to hear a word from the Lord today. What does God want to speak to our hearts today? So come on, open your Bibles, open your hearts, and let's get into the Word.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit that gives us life. Lord, we need you. We need you to teach us how to live missional lives. We need you to teach us how to accomplish the assignment you have sent us to this earth to accomplish. And so, Lord, we approach your word with great reverence. Correct us in the ways we need to be corrected. Change us in the ways we need to be changed. And Lord, before your word is even spoken, we say yes to all that you have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Greet you all in the name of Jesus. It really is a privilege to be back home. For the past several weeks, I've been preaching. Random places I never thought I'd be, places in Michigan I've never heard of. I was in Wisconsin the other day, people who don't look like me, churches they never heard my name. And it's honestly, I've developed a new appreciation for pastors who stand up before God's people and do this every single week. So I'm glad that this is my last preaching assignment for a while, because I'm tired. But God is faithful, and the Lord has something really special to say. So I want to greet you all in Jesus' name, giving honor to Pastor and Sister Melinda, Pastor Markham, Sister Mary, Pastor Steve, and Sister Lindsay. I greet you all. Thank you so much for the opportunity. All right. I want to speak to you today from the subject, God says go, don't say no. Write it down. God says go, don't say no. Let's read a couple scriptures, and then we're going to flow. This is Matthew chapter 28. Thank you. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them, his disciples, and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." Let's go to the next one, please. John chapter 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Last one in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, 6 through 8. This is the prophet Isaiah having a vision. He says, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for.'" Verse 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am. Send me.'" God says go. Don't say no. Like many of you, in COVID, I became an avid online shopper. I ordered everything off of Amazon. Toilet paper, white boards, hand sanitizer, pineapple juice, DayQuil, NyQuil, the Bounty Quicker Pipper Upper. I bought everything off of Amazon. Since 2020, mailing, online ordering, and delivery businesses have been booming. In fact, in the U.S. in 2022, we sent 21 billion, 21 billion packages across the country. Those were our pies, our yoga mats, our PlayStations, our jump ropes, our glasses wipes, our air purifiers, our flowers, and our candles. We have come to rely on and expect safe, timely delivery of everything we sent off and everything we sent for. Unfortunately, delivery problems are not uncommon. Capital One published a study showing that more than 42 million packages in 2022 were lost or stolen, totaling $13 billion. One in seven people in 2022 reported that a package was sent to me, but it never got to me. Or it was sent by me, but never reached its destination. Folks are so concerned with delivery delays or porch piracy that we've developed new systems of tracking packages, like requesting text alerts, putting insurance on our deliveries, having Ring cameras on our front doors, or asking the neighbor, hey, when it comes, can you bring it inside? They steal out here. Why? Because what I send needs to go where I send it to go. If I pay $2 shipping, in 2 days I expect to see that thing. If I sent it to Belleville, it should not end up in Belle Isle. I sent it for a reason, and there's no reason for it not to go where I sent it to go. God is in the delivery business, and he uses different carriers, different messengers, different vessels to deliver, accomplish, bring about what he plans to do in the life of the designated recipient. God sends, God releases, God dispatches things that his carriers should do to execute his plan on purpose, on time, every time. A few scriptures that back this up. This is Daniel chapter 6, verse 22. Daniel says, my God sent on time an angel to shut the mouth of the lion so that it would not hurt me. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. The Lord sent a great wind on the sea such that a violent storm arose the ship to threaten to break it up so Jonah could get where God wanted him to go. And then when Jonah was thrown overboard, Jonah chapter 1 verse 17 says, now the Lord had appointed a great fish, sent a fish, delivered a fish to swallow Jonah. And so Jonah could spend 3 days and nights in prayer. Psalms 107, verse 19. The scripture says, Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word, and it healed them and snatched them from the doors of death. One more. Galatians chapter 4, from verse 4 through verse 7 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent, dispatched, released his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God sent, dispatched, released the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but now a son. And if you're a son, then you're an heir through God. God is in the delivery business, on time, on purpose, every time. When I look at these scriptures, I don't see lost packages. I don't see delays. I don't see wrong addresses. No, God's messengers go where they are sent, and through their obedience, God's will is performed. God's carriers execute God's plan, his purpose, on time, every time. Now, here's what really blows my mind. I see God using nature and animals, and the mission is accomplished on time, on purpose, every time. I see God sending angels. I see him coming in the person of the Spirit and the Son, and God does his work on time, on purpose, every time. But when God sends human beings, you and me, that's when the mail starts getting lost. That's when the mail gets delayed, stolen, damaged, undelivered. Yeah, we can talk about biblical characters like Moses, Gideon, Barak, and Jonah, who were delayed in their obedience or doubted when God spoke. But saints, let's just fast forward. You and I are just as guilty. God wants to continue to answer people's prayers and meet people's needs, and daily he invites you and I to be part of it. And sometimes when God says go, you and I say no. God, not me, not now, definitely not them, not that message. God says go, we say nah, not it. Hearing go from God, the sender, often feels like having a thought that we did not actively think about with instructions we were never planning to pursue. I've received orders, promptings of the Spirit, like, hey, Kavar, send them a note of encouragement. Hey, ask that person about their faith. Hey, follow up on that comment they just made about, like, used to being in church and then no longer going to church. Probe into that. Give that person your testimony. Get that item. It would be so nice. It would minister so well to brother so-and-so. Check in on so-and-so. Pray for so-and-so. We've all had these promptings of the Spirit. These delivery instructions are like flashes of inspirations that we don't expect, and God expects you to honor and obey on time, on purpose, every time. But God says, go, and we say, no. That's last night's pizza. No, that's not from God. No. As quickly as these flashes of inspiration, these instructions, these delivery instructions come, if I'm not diligent, at some moment, my stubborn will try to cancel these orders with excuses as to why God gave me the wrong delivery instructions. I'm like, God, I know you said go to so-and-so, but they're unlikely to accept what I'm saying, so I'm not going to do that. I know you told me to do this, but they are uncooperative. I can't do that. God, they are undeserving. God, they are unrepentant. God, they are unkind. They're not even saved. Why are you sending me there? I'm not delivering that mail. Based on my intelligent analysis, Lord God, what you're sending me to do will not work. It's not going to work now. Who you're sending me to, they're not ready. And what you're sending me to do, in my humble opinion, I cannot do it. So I'm going to keep this package undelivered. In fact, I'm going to cancel the order. I just ain't going to do it. God says go. We say no. What if the angel that was sent to Daniel actually said, God, Daniel is strong enough to take care of this himself. He got this. What if the angel that was sent to Mary said to God, actually, God, she knows she's single. She ain't got no husband. It's kind of weird if you're giving her a baby. What if Jesus, who was sent to us by God, said to God, actually, I'm only going to die for the people who will accept me the first time they hear the gospel, because the rest of those folks are trifling. That seems crazy, because we know God had a reason and a purpose and a time for what he sent them to do. And yet, how many times and in how many ways have we left the orders God has given us undelivered? Because we have excuses. How many of God's goes have we just said, nah. Saints, this is so important to grasp, because when God gives us an order, a prompting of the Spirit, a hey, do this, it's not an option. It's an order. It's not, hey, if you feel like it today, how about you pray for Sister Susie? It's a pray for Sister Susie. Mm-hmm. The problem is never the recipient. The problem will always be our unwillingness to do what God has asked us to do. Don't cancel the order because of your excuses. Remember, you are sent. You're not the sender. You're the messenger. You're not the one who wrote the message. Your course as the person who is sent has already been charted. What God wants you to do, where he wants you to go, has already been determined. It's an opportunity for you just to obey. It's your job now just to go, and the results or people's responses, that's up to God. It's not up to you. We can't reach the whole world with the whole gospel. We can't be a church of all people and all nations and all that if we constantly cancel God's orders, saying, no, not me, not them, not now, not that message. Jesus gave us a model for fighting our unwillingness. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus modeled for us in Luke chapter 22, verse 42. He says, "Well, even when you're having a hard time with the things I've asked you to do, we should pray, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Saints, we are living on assignment. And every day we wake up, we should be asking God to remind us that he's the sender and we are the sent. Holy Spirit, make me sensitive today that your orders are not optional. They are, in every sense of the word, an order to be fulfilled on purpose, on time, every time. Holy Spirit, remind me that on the other side of my obedience is your will being done in the life of the recipient. Help me to remember how much of a privilege it is to be trusted and used by you in this work of saving the world. I've been the recipient of things God has sent. So we get to be a part of that same process in someone else. But when God says go, we say no. So, here's what I want to do. Now that we understand our role as the sent and the responsibility we have to say yes to Jesus, I want to show you three groups of people that the Lord sends us to. These are three groups that we encounter every week that God sends us to serve. God sends us, here we go. God sends us first to the open. God sends us to the opposition, and God sends us to the outsiders. God sends us to the open, God sends us to the opposition, and God sends us to the outsiders. All right, we're gonna read some Bible and then we're gonna preach. Let's go to Acts, please. Beautiful. This is Acts chapter 8 from verse 29 to 36. Y'all ready? All right, let's go. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, we'll see, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone down to Jerusalem to do what? Interesting, to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading what? Okay, so he just came from church and he's reading the scripture. Okay, pretty good. The Spirit of the Lord told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. Keep going. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of the scripture that the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." All right. The eunuch asked Philip, "What is he talking about in this scripture?" He's like, "Let's do a Bible study real quick, because this thing, I just came from church, I had some time with Jesus, I sang the songs, but I'm still a little bit confused about what this scripture is saying." 35, then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "All right, man, listen, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went his way rejoicing. God sends us to the open. Okay. I need you just to believe me. There are people right now in your path. There are people you encounter every week who are showing you signs of being open to the gospel. And right now, some of those people are coming to your mind. Like, there are people in your experience, you meet them every week. They're just showing signs, flashes of, like, God curiosity. They're God seekers. They're God open. They're God hungry. And God has assigned you to help them move from curious to convert. We think, oh, they're just such nice people in the world. No, no, God said, wake up. Come on, Philip, get close to that chariot. You're on assignment. What are the signs we see in the scripture? Well, the man is actually reading the scripture on his own. Big sign. Hello. Big, what's the opposite of red flag? Green flag, go. Go after him. He's reading the Bible. Not only that, this man just came from church, right? And this man has questions that he's wrestling with from the scripture. I wish we had more people who weren't yet saved, but went to church, read the Bible, and had their questions. Sir, friends, they're like right on the door of salvation. And God says, hey, you see them every single week. But are you activating what he's calling you to activate? Now, this position of being coming to church and doing worship and having your questions, honestly, while it's a really good position and we're excited for unbelievers who are in that state, it's also a very vulnerable and sensitive position to be in. Because as you know, if you Google anything on the internet, you can find anything on the internet. And so someone who's hungry and thirsty for righteousness and Googles the wrong thing might be feasting on the wrong thing. Yeah. So in a place of confusion can sometimes lead to a place of frustration, which sometimes leads to more confusion, which then leads to more frustration. And suddenly the person who was coming to life group and coming to church and doing all that worship, they quit. Why? Because they were like, I just had so many questions and it just felt too hard. They need Philip. They need you. This is why God is sending you. This is why God is putting up those green flags in their life. Say, hey, Philip, go get him. Convert, curious to convert. We see these signs in our friends and in our coworkers too. Some of the signs, they ask you about church. If anybody asks you about church, tell them about church. Tell them the songs you sang, the scriptures that was read, send them the link to the service, invite them the following week. What is it? It's a flag. Hey, help. Philip, help. It's the people who ask you, oh, that's a nice song you're singing. Where'd you get that from? They'll be like, oh, don't listen to me. I can't sing. Make them a mix. Bring them to Winter Jam. Bring them to church the following Sunday. Do a little Bible study in your group and sing it together. Like, saints, these are flags. The Holy Spirit is saying, hey, pay attention, look. And we're like, oh, but this is work. I can't talk about that there. If they talk about it, it's now fair game for you to talk about it. Mm-hmm. The signs. These people are people who ask you to pray for them. They're going through a hard time at work. They're going through a hard time. They're like, man, my mom is not well. My dad's not well. My kids aren't acting up. I'm not feeling good about my marriage. Hey, guess what? Philip, that's an invitation. That's an invitation for you to come and be like, hey, can I talk to you about Jesus who has helped me with some of those same things you're dealing with? They say, and this is a big one, they believe in a higher power. Friends, that's an opening. I don't care if they don't call him Yahweh. I will bring them there. You just bring them from curious to convert. Philip said, hey, this thing that you're reading, let me show you how it leads to Jesus. That's our job. Don't dismiss them. Oh, they're not using the right terms. They don't know Old Testament and New Testament. Come on, saints. We're leaving that mail undelivered. It's an opening. It's an open door. Even people who ask you kind of piercing questions about your faith, are showing you signs of being open to the faith. You started it. Hey, you asked me. You look different. You sound different. Hey, why are you reading that? Hey, you asked me. Now it's go time. You should never ask me if you don't want to know. Mm-hmm. Saints, this is an open door. God sent us to get close to them to bring them clarity. It's up to you to jump in and accept that invitation. True story. Last week, I was at the gym, and the guys were just changing. No one was talking to me. They were talking to each other, and they were talking about movies. And many of you know I love movies. And they made the mistake of talking about the Bob Marley movie. Because some of y'all might not know this. I'm 100% saved, but I'm 100% Jamaican, okay? So you don't dare say nothing bad about Bob Marley. So now I'm really listening, because they're like, what movie did you see? I saw Bob Marley. So I'm like, okay. And they're talking, and they ask the guy, oh, do you like Bob Marley? And the dude's like, I don't like Bob Marley. And I'm like, I start changing on this side. I'm like, and that what's happening? They triggered me by talking about something I'm very passionate about. They triggered me by talking about something I have a lot of experience with. They triggered me by talking about something I happen to be an expert in. I live this thing. How much more should you be triggered when somebody at your job says, oh, Jesus, that should be, oh, Jesus. Huh? How much more should you and I be triggered when somebody's like, oh, man, I'm so stressed out. You're like, oh, I know the Prince of Peace. They're triggering you. But we're like, let me just mind my own business because ain't nobody talking to me. No, 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 no. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Saints, we should be that sensitive to the things of God that if anyone says anything closely related to God, we'll be like, oh, here I am. This is our job. It's our assignment. Saints, they're triggering you in the most positive way possible. Jump and accept that invitation. Mm-hmm. Saints, I think it's possible for us to take for granted people's openness. I don't take for granted that y'all came to church today, because I know some of you aren't saved. And I'm so happy you're here, because my job is to help you go from curious to convert. I got you. This is what we're doing. I don't take for granted that some of your kids come to our youth group and they're not saved. That's so special. We're coming after them. This is what it looks like to live missionally. We're coming after them. A heart that's now open, tomorrow that heart can be closed. That heart that loves these songs and crying at the altar, tomorrow that heart can be like, I want nothing to do with God. This is why the scripture says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I ain't got no time for that. Because there's a moment, and that moment's right now. Mm-hmm. So, friends, we have to be sensitive to the moments that God is giving us with people who are unbelievers. Like, the only thing we have is that car ride that we're sharing. If you're dropping them home, you control the radio, you control the conversation. God bless my Uber drivers. Anytime I come from a preaching assignment and they're like, what do you do? I said, man, I was preaching the gospel this weekend. I have a million jobs, but this is what I want to talk about, right? Because I only have this moment with them. I only have this 35 minutes with them. Might as well live on assignment. Yeah. We only have today's church service. We only have this brief moment in the cafeteria. We only have that 2 minutes in Walmart. Might as well make it count. God sent you there for that moment. And he's showing you these signs to say, hey, go after them. So come in with the gospel. Don't be afraid to invite them to church. Send them a link to the sermon. Get them that Christian book. This is the open door we've been praying for. You've been sent. So go get them. Let's keep going. So next point, God sends us not just to the open, God sends us to the opposition. Okay. This will be fun. Here we go. In Damascus, there was a disciple called Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision and said, Ananias. And he said, yes, Lord. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he had seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many things about that man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, I don't care. Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. God sends you to the open. God sends you to the opposition. I think everybody has somebody in their life who opposes the gospel and opposes the life they live based on the gospel. Like, they go out of their way to mock you or criticize God in front of you. They are anti-Christ and anti you. And friends, God has sent you to that person to show them Jesus. Like, Saul was a terrible dude. Like, a terrorist of the terrorists. Countless Christians lost their lives because of Saul's savagery. And God said to Ananias, can you go to his house, please, and lay your hands on him? Because I got a work for him to do. Ananias, like us, did his analysis of the delivery instructions. And he said, God, I see the package. The address is weird. Because you can't be sending me to that dude, right? Like, you're sending mail to the wrong address. He doesn't want this. Like, he says, I know his life. I know his record. I hear the people talking about them. He doesn't want any of you. Why are you sending me to him? At least with the eunuch, there's signs of openness. Saul shows signs of, I'll cut your head if you say Jesus. But here is what we also see in the scripture very clearly. You and I don't really know all that God is doing in the life of the person that opposes Jesus Christ. Kavar, like, you don't understand what he posts on his social media. And you don't understand what happens when he lays in his bed at nights. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he posts about tarot cards. So? Yeah, she said the other day she would never be caught dead in a church. Some of y'all said the same thing, and look at you now. Yeah, he said God is dead, so he read some nonsense book. Why are you afraid of that? Don't hold them to what you heard them say. Hold them to what God said. And God said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And anybody, even my opposition, who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and sup with him and he with me. Do you know what this means? It means we're not starting a new work when we bring Jesus to the opposition. We're partnering with the work that God has already begun in their lives. He's knocking, and you're, hey, God bless you. Hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? Hey, can I show you this song? It's just amplifying the voice of Jesus louder and louder and louder. Saints, we're in partnership with God. Do you recognize that the person who says, I hate God today, can fall in love with God by the end of this sermon? So why are you afraid of what they put on social media? The person who said, I will never, ever, ever be crying at no altar. I said it too, and here I am. Friends, the outspoken, the most staunch atheist, the most rebellious person who falls in love with Jesus becomes a very different person. And you and I get to facilitate that conversion effort by carrying the gospel to the opposition. Mm-hmm. Deliver what God gives you to deliver, even if he's telling you to deliver it to somebody who don't like it. Mm-hmm. Now, this is really important. Our work with the opposition does not stop at evangelism.
Because when Saul gets saved, Saul had to deal with a lot of guilt from the past. Saul already thinks, I've gone too far, I've said too much, I've hurt people who go to that church. They're never gonna accept me there. And God sends you to say, hey, in the body of Christ, offender and offended are brother and sister. In the body of Christ, the persecutor and the persecuted become brother and sister. But if you don't ever talk to the offended, you don't ever talk to the opposition, they'll never see the grace of Jesus, the love of Jesus shed abroad in our hearts. Mm-hmm. The Bible says we have the ministry of reconciliation, the ability to bring people together, people who have been at odds with each other. Mm-hmm. So, friends, during your week, look and pray for everyone who says to you, I'll never be a Christian, because they're on their way. Famous last words until they get saved. Because again, you're not focusing on what they said, you're focusing on what the Word of God has said to you. And He's knocking, and you're amplifying the volume of His voice. Mm-hmm. God sends us to the open, God sends us to the opposition. Last one. God sends us to the outsiders. All right. This is the story of Peter, who had a little bit of prejudice against the Gentiles. Peter said, he said to them, you all are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. Oh boy, may I ask what you want me to do? Let's keep going. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what's right. God sends us to the open. God sends us to the opposition. God sends us to the outsider. So, Peter's a Jew, and Jews and Gentiles don't mix. Jews looked at them as unclean because they did not follow similar ceremonial laws. So, Jews and Gentiles, they didn't intermarry. Jews and Gentiles, they didn't eat with each other. The Jews are inside, the Gentiles are outside, and never the twain shall meet. We draw very similar boundaries today. We treat our political party lines, our racial lines, our sexual orientation lines, our denominational lines, our educational lines, our class lines, as things that are meant to be segregated and separate. Touch not the Lord's anointed Democrats and do his prophets no harm. So, Pentecostals, we stick with Pentecostals. And the Catholics, psh, what kind of Bible is that? White folks stick with white folks. And those people who speak other languages, they dress different, they come from different cultures, they eat different kinds of food. We don't, that's different. They're just different. We don't mean any harm, they're just different. These boundaries, these walls, don't just dishonor the humanity of other people, they limit the scope of our mission. Like, God, I know you're nudging me, but they are outside of my comfort zone, so I can't go over there. Send somebody else who looks like them to do that work. God says, go, and I say, no, because I only share Jesus with people who look like me. God says, go, and I say, no, he's transgender. He's not going to accept me. That's... Friends, remember, you're not the sender. You're the sent. God does not, hear me, share your prejudices and biases. God's not like, ew, icky. If so, I would not be preaching. God is sending you outside your comfort zone to bring people into the family of God. And the family of God is bigger and broader than the family you want on the family portrait. So, I know they believe in socialism, but you're not sent to debate politics. You're sent to deliver the message of Jesus. Stick to the script. Don't let your dislike stop you from being Christ-like. Messengers, God is showing us people who are open, who are putting up that flag. Hey, I want to know about Jesus. Hey, I want to come to your church. Hey, I just want an invitation. But we're canceling deliveries because we're uncomfortable with their P.O. box. I don't go to Inkster. Can't do it. Friends, God is doing something right now in the lives of people who oppose the gospel. But because that person may also be an outsider, we're refusing to deliver the message to their address. We're ignoring all the signs of I want Jesus. We're like, you can't want Jesus. You don't look like me. What kind of Christian says to God, God, I would minister to her if only she were black, if only she were straight, if only she were sober, if only she weren't an addict, if only she were educated, then I'd be ready. But because you sent me to somebody who I don't think meets the criteria, I ain't going. God said go, and we say no. Saints, we welcome outsiders into the family of God because no one is outside the love of God. It's not by my invitation. I'm just the delivery man. Everything, every division, every you're this, you're that, I'm this, you're that, that stuff has been leveled at the cross. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body, on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. So don't cancel a delivery because of someone's different identity. The harvest is white and the laborers are few because they don't want to go outside their comfort zone. When God says go, don't say no. God sends us to the open. God sends us to the opposition. God sends us to the outsiders. All right, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. Please bow your heads and close your eyes. God says go, don't say no. I want to first open the altar for anyone who feels like, Brother Kavar, like I'm not saved, but I'm open. Like I feel like today I'm that dude who's riding on the chariot. I come to church, I worship, but I got like a whole bunch of questions. But I want to be taught, like I'm all in. I want to come home. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Or maybe you're like Saul. You know, man, Brother Kavar, I said a lot of stuff. I've said, like, I ain't never coming to church. I've said, like, I don't want this Jesus thing. But you're like, Jesus is touching you. And you're like, man, okay, scrap that. Forget that. I want to be new. I want to pray for you too. Or maybe you have felt like an outsider. You feel like church is like this cool club and everybody knows all the songs and all the language and all the dance. And you just like, I don't know what's going on. The family of God is bigger than River of Life Assembly of God. And I'm telling you, you're welcome here. You're welcome here. So if today you know, man, Brother Kavar, I want to give my life to Jesus. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Could you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you first. Like, I want to come into the family. I want to come into the family. I'm not running no more. I repent of all the stuff I said. I'm coming home. And next, I want to speak to every male man, every male woman, everybody who has been named the name of Jesus. And you know, your job is to deliver what God has called you to deliver. But as I was preaching, you recognize, like,
Yeah, Brother Kavar, I'm just doing life. I'm moving so fast, I'm not even seeing the signs. Like, I'm going so fast, I'm not even acknowledging the signs. I want to pray for you, because this is my life. And next, I want to pray for those who, you just want to oppose the opposition. You don't want to see him saved. You're like, Kavar, you don't know how much they hurt me. You don't know how badly they've, you don't know how much they've done to me. God is saying, it's your chance to show them Jesus. It's your chance to show them Jesus. And lastly, for anybody who, you know, there's just some lines you're not willing to cross. If that person identifies as a blank, you're not talking to them. I'm telling you, that's not Christ-like. It's not. And God is trying to tell you, hey, this week you're about to meet some people who are on the other side of the quote-unquote aisle who are showing you signs of openness. I need you to be prepared to step over your dislike and be Christ-like. So for every Christian who knows, yeah, Brother Kavar, I just want to come and pray. I want to work on some of this stuff. I want to see the open. I want to really be conscious of the outsiders. I want to welcome them, and I want to show love to the opposition. I want you to come, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Because I'm telling you, this week, you're setting up to face open people, outsiders, and the opposition. But right here is where we say to God, hey, I'm not telling you no, I'm telling you yes. I'm saying yes. So fantastic. You can come, and then we're going to begin to pray. The altar team is here. We're going to pray, because this week, I'm telling you, as I was preparing this, the Lord showed me things in my own life that I was like, yeah, God, I'm saying no to that. I'm not delivering that. I'm not going to her. I'm not going to him. Can't be. If you want to see the world saved, transformed, we got to let that stuff go. All right, your time to come, and then we're going to pray. Your time to come, then we're going to pray.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away so you can use me.
Take my heart.
It's your chance to make it very personal. Won't you stand with me? And we're going to consecrate ourselves back to God, okay? We're going to consecrate ourselves back to God. So you think about the people in your life that you know have been opposition. You think about the people who you know, I've been ignoring the signs. You think about the people who you know you won't cross the aisle for. And right now is your chance to begin to say yes to Jesus, okay? So all over the house, let's open our mouth to Jesus and begin to talk to him. Lord Jesus, we offer ourselves back to you as living sacrifices. We are your messengers. We are people who get to carry your gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Lord, we want to apologize for God separating ourselves from the people you have assigned us to deliver to. God, we want to apologize for the times you have spoken to us and we have told you no. God, we want to apologize for the times we've heard your word, we've heard your instructions, and God, we've ignored you completely. But God, we want to be like Jesus, who knew how hard it was to obey you,
but still said, "Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done." So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would open our eyes to the open. Open our eyes to the red, the green flags. Open our eyes to the people you want us to go to. God, make our ears sensitive. Sensitive to those signs of openness. God, I pray that this week you would help us to capitalize on those opportunities. Help us not to waste these moments in the cafeteria, these moments in the group chat, these moments, God, on social media. Help us not to waste these moments, but God, I pray that we would be activated, triggered by the conversations that lead to righteousness and lead to you. God, I pray that we would have hearts that are open to the opposition. God, I thank you that there's no one you cannot change. God, I thank you that there's no one who has spoken against you whose heart you can't convert. And so, Lord, we pray for every Saul in our life, every Saul who has been a persecutor, every Saul who's been even a thorn in our flesh. I thank you that right now you are knocking on the doors of their hearts. I thank you that you are speaking in a way that they can understand. I thank you that you are doing a work that we have not even begun to see. And God, we agree to partner with you and God, to do what you want us to do in their life. God, we won't run from opposition, but God will carry the gospel. Lord, I pray that we would step over every line that we've laid down that does not please you. Every political line, every denominational line, every racial line, God, every line we've laid down and said we would not cross, God, we plead your blood over it. And God, we go where you want us to go, into Jerusalem, into Samaria, even into the uttermost parts of the earth. God, your purpose and your will must be accomplished. And one more day we sign up to deliver what you want us to deliver to whoever you want us to deliver it, on time, every time, every time. Lord, we thank you for challenging us. We thank you for pruning us, and we welcome all the opportunities this week. We welcome every open door. We welcome every open believer. We welcome every open opportunity to carry Jesus into a dying world. Thanks for making us a part of your body. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this church. And we bless you for the harvest that will be reaped because we told you yes and stopped telling you no. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.